You're listening to the Morning Brew with Stu Podcast, and here's your host, Stuart Brooking.
And here we go. Welcome to the Morning Brew with Stu. As always, I'm your host, Stuart Brooking, and it's a bit of a different show today. Kind of a resurgence of something that, as a kid, I was enamored with, which is the WWE and wrestling. So nobody else I'd rather have on the show to talk about it than my boy Chris LeBron, the president of Off the Ball Network. And Chris, it's WrestleMania week, WrestleMania 40. It's going to be a big one. And I think this might be, at least in my lifetime, some of the best storytelling I've ever seen from the WWE.
Man, I'm excited. I love talking wrestling. You know, I talk football, I talk basketball. I don't get to talk a lot of wrestling, and you know, some of the, you know, you don't even get talked about in the chat because we get made fun of because we work with a bunch of little Cody crybabies on the network and all that that want to make fun of it. But I love wrestling and all that. But yeah, these last what's in last year, it feels like the, especially WWE in particular, it's been on a roll. It's been on a roll, and it's, I'm not gonna lie, there was a time period before that where I was like, all right, it's time to pack it up. It's time to just, you know, and I'll just watch here and there. I'll have it in the background, or I'll just go on YouTube and watch the top 10. But it's definitely right now, it's like, all right, I have to watch Monday Night Raw. I have to watch SmackDown. It's like a priority. Like I have to watch it because I can't miss what's going on. So that's definitely a good thing in wrestling.
Yeah, and we'll get into it a little bit later on. You know, for me, I'll tell you this before we get into it. I kind of like you. I stopped watching wrestling probably around middle school, you know, 7th, 8th grade maybe. And then, to be honest, and it's going to be, you know, for the wrestling nerds, they'll probably hate me for saying this, but it was honestly Pat McAfee that got me back into it because, you know, I'm a big Pat McAfee fan. I love his show. He did that segment with Adam Cole in the show.
Yeah, that
kind
was
of
good.
Setting
yeah,
up his match they did on NXT, and then it led to some other pay-per-views. And that kind of got me back into it. And then, you know, you kind of follow along, watch some clips, those types of things. And then this whole Cody story, I'm back into it. And I never thought I'd be back here, but, you know, it's Pat McAfee's fault that I'm back into it.
Yeah, no, he's definitely been a positive in the wrestling. And, like, for me, like, I remember going through my stretch where I didn't watch wrestling, where, you know, growing up, I watched it all the time. And then, like, middle school, like, I stopped maybe, like, 2003, it felt like. I stopped for, like, 7 years. I didn't watch it, or I would just hear about it from, like, friends or whatever. Hey, I'd be like, hey, what's going on? And then, like, 2010 is, I remember working at Moldell's, sporting goods store over here, and the guys that I was working with, they were like, they were talking about wrestling. I was like, oh, I used to watch that. Like, who's the guys? And they were talking John Cena, Edge, and bring up some new guys. I was like, oh, Sheamus. I'm like, who are these people? So I think everyone goes through those stretches where everybody loved it when they were kids, regardless of the era you grew up in. And then you go through that phase as a teenager. That's corny. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, okay. Oh, wow. John Cena. Oh. And then you're just hooked again. And it's just, I think a lot of people go through those stages of wrestling fandomness and all that. But I think the older you get, the more you appreciate it. I think that when you're young, you're like, those are the best times to watch it, when you're young. And then when you get older, because sometimes you just settle down. You don't really get, you just enjoy it. Like, oh, that's cool. Like, we obviously know what's going on backstage when we were little. We thought The Rock and Austin, he really hated each other. And, you know, I remember when Stone Cold had the gun to Vince McMahon's head and I was crying. I was like, oh, he's going to shoot him on national TV, you know. But it's like I said before, the wrestling's in a good spot right now, and it's fun. And I'm glad there's a lot of people getting back into it, because it's, you know, contrary to some people who just think it's fake, that I hate that word annoys my soul, the fake word. I've taken a choke slam in a ring. I know how much that hurts. I've gotten chopped. I've gotten DDT'd. Those things hurt.
And my thing, too, is like, the same people who say that are the same ones who are paying $37 to go watch John Wick
movie. Yeah.
In the theater. So
that's the one thing I'll never understand. Oh, it's fake. I was like, okay, so when you watch Avengers or you watch any movie, Game of Thrones show, you don't finish it being like, oh, it's fake. I don't do that. I'm like, oh wow, you're invested. It's all about the story, right? Same thing with wrestling. If there's a good story, you're gonna be hooked. And there's live action that happens. I don't go to a play. I don't go see the Lion King and be like, ah, that's not real. It's not a real lion. I don't do that. I'm not gonna yell and be like, oh, this is fake. Like, no, because I know that what's gonna happen. You watch it because if it's a show, it's theater, it's live entertainment. Like, you just watch it. But for some reason, wrestling's always had that stigma, especially for like people, you know, who just never got it. It's like, no, it's good. It's live action, it's theater, and you know, it's predetermined, but it's definitely not fake. That's the one thing. It's not fake. That's like a derogatory term. Like, you just can't say it's fake. It's not. I've taken a choke slam. I've done suplex. Like, I ref for like a little bit at like a really like low, independent thing, but I ref and I took some bumps. I'm like, oh yeah, this, I felt that. That hurt. That definitely hurt. So like, yeah, nah, I don't play that one. That fake stuff. Nah, I don't care for that stuff.
All right, well, let's get into the WrestleMania 40 preview. And you know, WrestleMania now is two nights. I think they started this in the with the COVID WrestleMania.
Yeah, 2021. Yeah, they started
and
that.
Now they're keeping it this way, and I kind of like it this way. But let's start off with, I think, the first match the WWE has announced. One of the two that we know for sure is on Saturday. It's for the Women's World Championship, and it's Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. And this one, for a while, like, this is one, Chris, that we wanted to see, but it took them a while to kind of build up the hype for this fight and build up the promos for this fight. But it slowly got there. And then, obviously, you know, with everything that happened in the MMA hour on Ariel Helwani's show, all that kind of stuff, now it's propped up. And you got, you know, Rhea, who's the future, versus Becky Lynch, who is the man. And I think it's going to be a good one, but I think Rhea goes over in this just because I think they're setting up a battle with Jade Cardell in the future.
Yeah, Jade is, she's tremendous, man. She's really good. But Becky and Rhea, that's the match we've been waiting for a long time. And it's definitely intensified these last few weeks and stuff with Ariel Helwani. I didn't get to watch the whole thing because I was so invested in CM Punk and what he said. It was that 2 hour. So I honestly, I knew there was, he was interviewing Rhea, but I just totally forgot because I was talking to my friends about after. We were talking about the CM Punk stuff and, you know, what happened, because that's, you know, he said a lot of stuff that a lot of people were curious about what happened and all that. So that was a very, you know, but this rivalry it's intense. You see Rhea, you know, Rhea become a real superstar and all that. And just, but Becky, this feels like, you know, it feels like there's some realness to her. Like, she feels like she's kind of being overlooked now because Rhea's kind of the flavor of the year. She's been, you know, on top for a long time, you know, mommy's on top, you know? So, you know, that's her motto and all that. But yeah, but Becky, she's been going in. And then when Rhea went out, you know, talked about her daughter and all that, like, you know, Becky got emotional and all that and took it. And I even feel like Rhea was like, oh, I didn't. Okay. All right. This is, you know, so I think this one's going to be a really good match. I know Becky's contract's coming up and all that, so I don't know if that factors into how I feel who's going to win and all that, you know, because I think she'll resign because they can't let her go. She's too valuable to the company. She's essentially maybe the top woman in the company. But this is going to be a good one. I'm excited about this. I don't know if we're going to do predict. Are you going to do prediction or we're going to
wait for that? If you want to do it, or we don't have to.
Yeah, I think Rhea retains.
Yeah, I do too. Also, a good thing to, you know, keep an eye on too is, you know, with Rhea and some of the posts she's been posting on Instagram and those types of things, you know, as Becky mentioned on the Ariel Helwani show, you know, a couple weeks ago now, she mentioned, or last week, she mentioned how, you know, she fought hard to get away from, you know, the bra and panties matches and all the types of things that women used to do, and to take them respectful. And she felt like, you know, Rhea was setting them back. So it makes it even more personal for Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship. Now let's take a look at the six-pack ladder match for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships. You have the champs in the Judgment Day with Damian Priest and Finn Balor. You have Awesome Truth with The Miz and R-Truth. You have DIY, or Regeneration X, as R-Truth calls them. Johnny Gargano and
Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, there you go. Versus The New Day, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, and A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I think because they made it very clear that the match has to be won, both sets of titles to hold down, I do think they separate it. It'd be very interesting to see. I didn't think about this until I was listening to Sam Roberts' podcast, Not Sam Wrestling, and he brought up a good point. I kind of agree with him. I think they're going to put a singles title on Damian Priest with the Money in the Bank briefcase. So I think they Judgment Day loses his championships. I don't know who's going to get it. Probably going to be DIY, and I would say maybe Awesome Truth, just because everybody loves Awesome Truth. And they'll separate them. There'll be a Raw set and a SmackDown set and those types of things. But for me, overall, I look at it and say, I think Damian eventually is getting set up for that big singles run. So I do think that Judgment Day loses their championships in this match.
I agree on that. I definitely agree on it. My thing is like with Damian and the Money in the Bank, where does he fit?
I think it's the world title. And this may spoil a little bit of the prediction that I have for later on, but I do agree. I don't mean to hijack Sam Roberts's take, but I do agree. I think night two, potentially you see Drew McIntyre win either the night of WrestleMania or the Monday Night Raw following, you see Damian cash it in on Drew McIntyre.
I think you have to do something like
that. Or it could be Gunther too. A lot of people have said that.
Cash in for the Intercon. I don't think it doesn't have this. It actually makes more sense for Priest to be the inter to go after the Intercontinental title, because I think the world title picture is there's a lot of guys involved, and I don't think he's at that level yet.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. But if you want to go for shock value and have another moment like you did with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31, then go for it. I could see that. I could definitely see him cashing it on night two. I do agree. They're going to lose the titles. I think I'm going to go with – I think Awesome Truth wins one of the belts, and I think DIY – I'm with you on that. I think DIY – because like you said, they didn't say whoever just grabs the belts is the undisputed. So whoever grabbed both tag belts – have to be secured for the match to end. So I think that happens where you have one set, two different teams get it, and then they go back to brand split. So I'm with you on that. I agree with your prediction, too.
Yeah, and, you know, you take a look at – I believe this would be on night three as well, or night one as well, the United States Championship. This will head into – the tag team championship or tag team main event that we'll have on night one. But you have Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. I've gone back and forth on who I think wins this, but I do think Logan Paul retains, and I think maybe he cheats somehow. Maybe you get, you know, Jake Paul involved. Maybe you get, you know, KSI involved somehow. But I think what they're setting up, especially with SummerSlam being in Cleveland, is I think they're setting up for a big run for Logan at SummerSlam, and no bigger match than Logan versus Randy. So why not set that up for Logan versus Randy at a SummerSlam for the United States title, which means in my case at WrestleMania, Logan Paul will walk out the winner of this match.
I'm with you. I think some fugaziness happens, you know, like you said, his brother or something to that significance that his co-host on this podcast. You know, I think we're going to see some shenanigans happen and somehow, you know, Logan uses the brass knucks to win and all that, or KO and Orton just, they have disagreements and he takes advantage, Logan takes advantage of that. But I think, like you said, with SummerSlam being in Cleveland, I think they're going to hold on to him, you know, and I think LA Knight beats him at SummerSlam. That's my prediction, but obviously that's a few months away, but that's what I think is going to happen, that it all leads to LA Knight winning his first championship at SummerSlam.
I could see that. That's the one I think everybody wants to see. All right. So then the main event for night one is the Bloodline, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. This one to me is going to be interesting because there's a couple things I want to see. One being, how does a 50-year-old Rock fare in a match, especially a match that is probably going to go 30 minutes, 35 minutes, potentially. So the question becomes, how does a 50-year-old, he's going to, if he wants to last and if he's going to make this a future thing, especially if they're going to head into next year's WrestleMania with it being Rock versus Roman, which I think we all know that's where it's headed, he's going to have to change some of his movesets, and he's going to have to be more of a technician or a brawler type, maybe use some more submissions as opposed to being the Rock that we've seen in years past. But Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth, I think Rock and Roman win night one. I think they will walk out the winner, and I think it sets it up for a Bloodline rules match on night two. And the reason I say that is they've mentioned the word Bloodline's rules too much, and we even got a preview on Monday Night Raw for it. Like, I just think it's, they've teased it too much and set it up too much for it to not happen at this point. But I think Rollins gets beat up pretty bad here in this one, which may be foreshadowing into the next night.
Yeah, and also, if let's say if Cody and Seth would win this, I would actually be worried for Cody, because it just doesn't feel like, all right, you would have Roman lose twice at WrestleMania. Yeah. It just doesn't, I don't know, that's how I would book, after you just had this guy not lose for what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Then have him lose twice in back-to-back nights. That's not how I would book my guy who's been the champion for 4 years. I wouldn't do that. So I think now that The Rock's involved, and you got to worry about Seth too, if you're Cody.
Yeah.
Because I understand he's on your side and all that, but guess what? You beat him 3 times and he can't stand you and all that. You know, he hated that you came back, kind of took a spot. I don't know why Cody's like, they're making Cody so like gullible. I get it, he's a baby face and all, he's making a little go. So I think maybe they could be something with Seth where he could maybe cost Cody, you know, a shot, you know, the match. So, you know, he can have some adversity, you know, going into the night two, the main event. So I do think Rock and Roman win, because you can't have Roman lose back to back. You can't lose them back to back nights. That just can't happen. And if it does happen, night two is going to be very interesting. Because there's going to be a lot of people being like, oh, they're going to have him lose back to back years. And which is crazy to think that. But I thought last year Cody was going to win 100,000%. I was firmly, now obviously Vince is not there no more, so you don't have that. And but you never know, they could just continue to prolong their best storyline, which I get for business, but it doesn't make any sense. So I think Rock and Roman win it. I think I wouldn't even be surprised if Cody takes the pin.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I would want Seth to take the pin, and he's going into, because now he could lose. He's going to take the pin and then possibly lose. Because right now, even on the betting odds, McIntyre is like a big time favorite to win. So like, you're going to have your world champion lose. That's the thing. So there's so many different things that are like, all right, if this scenario happens, then wait, does that change that scenario? There's just so many things that's why I think Rock and Roman win this match. But if they go the other way, now that changes everything and all that stuff. But I think Cody takes the pin. That's my prediction, is Rock Roman win, Rock pins Cody. Because you don't want Roman getting pinned. Cody can afford the getting pinned, because if he's going to win the title, no one's going to really care that he got pinned. It's all about him finishing the story, which is winning the WWE Universal Championship. So I think he could survive. I don't think you should have Seth get pinned possibly twice back to back. And you know, so I think Cody takes the pin, which is crazy to think, because you don't want him taking, but he's caught a few L's. He had some losses, you know, recently. So I think he'd afford losing one night to The Rock, or especially if it's like shenanigans happen, and win against Roman. I think people will be fine with that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, you know, I think that on top of this too, you know, Cody talked about, and I don't think Cody Rhodes or Roman Reigns are going to know until night two, because I don't know if you caught Cody's interview with Ariel Helwani today, but this is Wednesday that we're recording this.
I legit have it Friday. Like, I'm legit going to watch it once we're done with all. But I know what he said, though.
He said he didn't know the outcome of the match until the second he stepped into the ring. So, you know, it's one of those things where literally the plan right now could be that Cody wins, and then come Sunday night at whatever time that match is, he gets the word that he's going to lose.
It's just crazy to think that you're in the main event, your first WrestleMania, and you don't know if you're winning or not. Or maybe they told you, yeah, you're going to win, and then they just threw a curveball at you last second, and, yo, you got to take the pin, take the fall.
Which seems more like a crazy Vince McMahon thing, and not necessarily.
Well, Vince did that with the streak. Vince did that with the streak, remember? And I felt so bad for the referee. I remember watching the ref, and he's like, you could see him, like, you know, when you did something that you're not supposed, and you just take that big gulp, like, oh my God, did I just do that? You see him, and he's waving it off. And I remember that they said that only Taker, Brock, Heyman, Vince, and I don't know, maybe Triple H or somebody else of higher knew the outcome of the match. The ref didn't know, the announcers didn't know, nobody knew. So like, they've done this before, where, and I've heard other wrestlers say, like, yeah, they just said go out and we'll figure it out, and then the ref will be like, finish, you know, go home and discount, and he'll say last second, take the fall. You know, so it could happen. It's crazy to think you can go in your WrestleMania and you're like, I don't know if I'm winning. I don't even know what's going to happen. You know, it's kind of crazy to think that. But, you know, yeah, I heard that and I was like, wow, that's crazy to think that he went that whole match. And I guess I get the other side, because it's like, you don't want the wrestler. Like, yeah, like imagine telling you, like, you're the quarterback of the Colts in the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're losing this game. Like, that's how it's going. You're going to lose the game.
As you run out right before they announce your
name. Yeah. Like, yeah, right before you announce, yeah. And you've been waiting your whole life for this, and like, yeah, you're going to lose. So I get that aspect. Like, hey, just we'll figure it out in the ring. And like that. So I get that. So you can get that real motion, you know, because then maybe you could read body. I mean, it's natural. It don't matter how old you are. If I tell you, if we're wrestlers and I'd say you're going to lose, Stu. Like, you're going to be, even though it may make sense now, but it's like, damn, man, that sucks. That's going to mess you up a little bit. You still go out and perform, but, you know, that could be the same case and all. I don't know if I'm sure that's not what he wants. He's like, he kind of wants some, like, hey, we can't do this again, right? We can't have me lose again. But you, in wrestling, you never, I didn't think the streak was going to end.
Yeah.
It happened, so.
We're going to fast forward to kind of night two. I think night two, the first match, we don't know this for sure, but I'm kind of predicting, just because I think it's the one that people care about the less, because it's the newest match, or second newest, is Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Not much of a build up for this, because it literally just happened like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, we know the story between Dominic Rhodes and or Dominic Rhodes, Dominic Mysterio and his dad. So to me, I think Escobar and Dominic wind up winning this because I think, and again, this is not my theory. I heard it and I agreed with it. It made sense. Right now the WWE is struggling to make sense of what to do with Carlito. And I think Carlito
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that.
becomes a little
Entirely.
pissed off that it was Dragon Lee chosen, not him. And I think he comes out, sides with Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio and Cost Rey and the LWO, the
100% with
match.
that. I'm with you on that. I agree. I think that's exactly what's going to happen because they gave that little teaser. They saw you see Carlito a little bit, and it's like, and I that makes sense too because it's like I thought it was Carlito too, and then I think, well, hold up, you picked Dragon Lee over me, like you've known me for how long? And you, so it makes sense and all that.
And then we'll get that sick theme song back too, the I spit in the face of people.
And he needs that back, like,
Yeah,
because
because
when he came back at Backlash last year, in Puerto Rico too, like that was, and then it gave him a different theme. So hopefully he goes back to, and it don't have to be the same gimmick, but give him the music back because that's who he is. It just the news. I always said this with theme music. It doesn't make you some like as you performer, but it could sure break you.
yeah.
If you don't have good music, like when we think about the great wrestlers, we think about the Rocks. If you and we all like, oh, we know it instantly, the glass shatter, the
Stone
dongs,
Cold. You hear the, yeah.
you hear that, I'm a real American. You're like, oh, Hulk Hogan, like, or even CM Punk. You turn, 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 like, there's
Or
certain songs
that,
you're like,
or that dun
yes,
dun to dun, you know
yeah,
exactly what's happening.
you know exactly. Or the game, you hit a dun, you're like, oh, okay, like Carlito, just everybody. I know random people who be like, I spit in the face of people when they eat an apple, and they'll just
Yeah.
do a random car. Give him his theme song back. Come on now, come on now. Just do that. It just doesn't make sense. Like, even look at Roman Reigns' theme. That theme, his theme song is iconic. Like,
Yeah.
everyone does the one. I know random people, like people who don't watch, they're like, oh, that rope. Throw the one up. It's just that can, it may not make you old, but it can definitely add it. And if you don't have a theme, it could kind of mess you up. I remember Cesaro never had a good theme, and I feel like I always messed him up. But, just give Carlito his theme back. That's who he is. He's spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool. That's simple.
Exactly. And then I think, the next match will be Bianca Belair and Naomi Jade
Oh, they're
Cargill
winning. They're not losing. That's not
versus
happening.
Damage Control. I think this could go one of two ways. I think either it's a squash match and Bianca and them kill them in less than
Squashed.
5 minutes, or Jade turns and kind of takes out everybody, including Bianca, including
I think
Naomi.
that happens after. I think they squash him. And then I could see Jade just
Taking
clothesline
out,
or whatever, take one
yeah,
around and be like,
taking
I'm the
everybody out.
dominant. I'm here to stay. I'm here to win championships. I'm here to prove that I'm the best. I can see, but they're 100% not losing. They're gonna, if it's not a squash, they're gonna look dominant. They're not gonna make these three girls look weak, especially Jade, essentially her first match. Yeah,
And
it's gonna be
she's
a
a
first
monster
match.
too.
And she's billed as a star. I can't wait to see Jade versus Bianca matches. That's, and I like the way they've helped bring along Jade because she even when she was in AEW, she was Raw because she had star power, but she was Raw, and they just like, all right, we're gonna bring you in, we're gonna get you work and all that, and we're gonna make sure when you come in, you're ready to go. So she's ready to go, and I'm excited about her future because she will be a world champion by the end of the year. She will be a world champion by the end of the year.
And then the next match I think we'll get is probably going to be Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits being Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins versus the Final Testament, with it being Karrion Kross, the authors of Pain, Akeem, and Rezar. Here's the thing. I think Bobby Lashley and company win. He wasn't WrestleMania last year. I think that's the only, the rest of them without Bobby, I don't think this is a WrestleMania match. I think this is a
Like a
TV match.
SmackDown match, yeah.
But I think they win. I think Bobby does, especially with this being, him not getting WrestleMania last year, but getting in WrestleMania this year. I think they win, and it's going to be pretty dominant fashion, especially if this being a Philadelphia street fight.
Yeah, I think we just see a bunch of, you know, some cool spots, you know, especially a Montez Ford. I still think Montez Ford is still a future world champion. I think he has all the tools and all that. But yeah, I this is a glorified like Raw match and all that. But you know, I think the Street Profits will show out and all this, and you know, we'll see some high flying stuff and all that, and it won't be long. But yeah, I think they win. Bobby Lashley, Street Profits get the W here.
Yeah, I agree. And then the next one, I think, because I think they're going to go three bangers in a row. So this will be the next one before we get into the real good action on night two. I think you're going to have Io Sky versus Bayley. I think Bayley, in my opinion, I think loses. I think they're going to take the Sami Zayn route and have her kind of lose. I know that, you know, Io Sky isn't Roman Reigns by any means, but I do think maybe they're going to build her up to have this comeback and everybody fall for Bayley just to turn around and lose to Io Sky on night.
Honestly, I didn't think about it that way, but you can't have everybody have their moment at WrestleMania. So yeah. Do you let Bayley take an L? Now, does she deserve to have her moment and all that? Yeah. But I think people forget she's had moments. Like I remember NXT Brooklyn. I was there when she beat Sasha Banks for the Women's Championship. That, to me, that's the best women's match in the history of the WWE, of maybe wrestling period. That match was perfect. But I could see but I still think Bayley wins the championship, because I think EO's great and all that, but I think you need the belt on a straw. I can even see Bayley just being a transitional champion. And Jade taking the bell from her at SummerSlam or something like that, you know. But I do think Bayley gets her main roster moment and wins the championship. But I don't think she'll have the belt for long. Like I said, I think Jade or someone will get the belt back.
I agree. All right, now we get into the bangers. In my opinion, we'll start off with, this is just how I think it's going to go in the order. I think we're going to go LA Knight versus AJ Styles. And this match, in my opinion, I think they've done a great job of building it up. It's been a fun build-up. I think LA Knight has to win this because, you know, AJ's legacy is set in stone. And AJ could retire today as a legend in wrestling and go down as a legend and the first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I think LA Knight, being as old as he is, having never won a championship, having just now being that guy, but yet, like we talked about earlier, this world championship scene is awfully crowded. I think he has to win to mainstay his time as one of the top guys in this industry. And then I think, you know, you could set him up for whether it be him versus Gunther down the road, or him versus Logan Paul down the road, whatever it may be, you could set that up later. But I think he has to win maintain as one of the top guys. Because I don't know how, if he loses at WrestleMania, you could still say he's one of the top guys in all.
Because then you have to be like AJ Styles has to be in front of him for a world title shot. So I'm with you. I think LA Knight, he's cooled off a little bit, but he gets his W back and Raw after WrestleMania and Smack. I think he gets it back and he'll be in that world title picture. But I think first he'll go after one of the mid-card title first, get one of them. And then I think, because whoever wins, I mean, the world title, that could be the one. And it all depends where the belts go, because I don't know if whoever wins the world. If Cody wins, is he going to be on SmackDown, Raw? So it all depends where the belt. I know they have a draft. The draft's coming up too. So, but I think he'll win a mid-card title this year, and then next year will be his year where he gets it.
Yeah.
This is Cody's year. It has to be about Cody. It's Cody's year and all that, but next year, then we could focus on another guy. And then if it's LA's year, it's LA's year. But we also got Punk. We still – that's in lingering and all that. So this is what's good about wrestling. There's so many options, right now, not just one guy. So you can book. And, like, I'm sure as a booker, you're involved because, like, yeah, it Punk getting hurt sucked, but it also allowed for what we're getting now. Because if Punk's not hurt, we don't get that. Now, it's probably still good. It's probably still really good because we still get Punk and we get Roman and Cody, and we get Seth versus Punk, and they just their promos would be insane because they have genuine, like, heat. So we still would have got great, but obviously what we're getting now is, like, next level because it's The Rock and all that. But, you know, that's the good thing about having top stars is, like, yeah, we lost Punk. That sucks. Next guy steps up. Oh, Rock is like, I'll step up and all that. But I think LA Knight, his time, even Sami Zayn too, his time will come. You know, Daniel Bryan, it took a little bit. And obviously that was a different regime and all that, but this is Cody's. This is Cody's time and all that. This is The Rock, Roman, Cody, Seth. This is their time to be the guy. LA Knight has time. I know he's older and all that, but his time will come and all. And then when the fans know that he's really gonna take off and be real legit, have a shot to win the world title. Because when he fought Roman, we knew he wasn't gonna win the title. There was no shot. But when now that if Roman loses, now there's like, oh, hey, and then LA's in the world title. I was like, oh, he could win. He'll get all the fans back 100%. And then, you know, maybe his time next year. We'll see and all that. But you know, he definitely he takes the W in the end, and he continues to roll until you know, I think he gets a mid card title, and then he'll get back on that ascension.
And then I think, you know, the second to last match of the night will be the world title match between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. Maybe some people are saying it's going to be the first match of the night. I don't know, maybe, but
I think you would have to open it because you can't have this and then Cody back to back. You're right. Because so it's
maybe they
you're going to kill it. You want to have the fans fully, because I've been to, I don't know if you've ever been to WrestleMania's. Even now it's two nights. I haven't done the two nights one, but it's still a long show. You want your fans fresh for the main, because that's their main event. You want them, when they used to do one night, it used to be like 7.5 hours. I remember I went to the last WrestleMania I went to was 35 with Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte. It was like 11:30 the match started. And like, it's New York, it was cold. So, like, and it's going to be cold in Philly. So, imagine that, you know, it's not as long the show since it's two nights, but still, you want to have. So, I think that probably starts off night two. You want to start off with a banger and end with a banger because those are the things you remember. You remember the first match or the last match. You never want to be, like, in the middle or second or last. Yeah. You want to be the first or the last match. So, I think you start off with Drew and Seth, and you obviously Cody and Roman's main eventing and all that.
I think Drew McIntyre wins this because I think Seth comes in with beaten and battered from that tag team match the night before. We heard The Rock say, you know, with the snap of my fingers, I can take that title away from you. I think whether he has some kind of interference or whatever, I think Seth is too battered to win this match, and Drew McIntyre walks out the World Heavyweight Championship, which opens up a world of possibilities, especially with the CM Punk stuff coming up. Like, I do think that's what happens, and I think Seth loses to Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I still don't know how it ends, though, because it's not just going to end like Drew does the Claymore and 1-2-3. I think there's shenanigans, and there's going to be something going on. I don't know if it's Punk, you know, in directly, you know, getting involved, because I know he's going to do commentary. So does he get involved? Is there somebody in the wings that we don't know about that gets involved? You know, so there's so many layers to this, you know. Does, you know, depending on what happens in the tag team match, like if Seth had pinned The Rock, does The Rock come out and change it? And like, I'm in the match. I don't know. I think all this stuff, I'm like, you know, some, you know, I'm in the match now. Or do we have Damian Priest cash in Money in the Bank? That this match is, I'm pretty confident that when we're going to talk about the main event, what's going to happen with that. This match, I don't really know what's going to happen. It can be a wild card, but I love it because I'm literally on the fence 50-50. Because if I had to lean, I would lean Drew because it just makes sense. Because Seth had the belt for a while, so maybe. But I'm also like, I know Drew has a contract stuff. He hasn't re-signed with the company yet that we know of. So I'm like, do you factor that in that he doesn't re-signed yet, or maybe he has re-signed and they're gonna. So there's a lot of factors. There's the Rocket involved, CM Punk's involvement. You know, this CM Punk screwed Seth because he wants Drew, because Drew's been talking a lot of stuff. You know, but Seth Rollins talked a lot of stuff with CM Punk. So I was like, who does he want to? Because CM Punk most likely is the next guy in line.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my God, there's like seven different scenarios. That's why I love this match, because there's so many different ways you can go. And I feel like any way you do go, I get it and I like it. So this match is, but if I had to lean, if you're going to twist my arm, I would say Drew wins and Damian cashes it in.
All right. I like the prediction.
I think that's what I'll go with that. So Drew wins, Damian cashes in, and but he might be a transitional champion too. He'd be a transitional champ. Like, he wouldn't have the belt for long. But just give him that shot, because he's another guy who's an older guy. He's worked hard. You know, his journey. I remember watching him in the Indies. I remember I met him right before AEW's first show. Met him, and cool. He's Puerto Rican. I'm Puerto Rican. We talked for like 2 minutes or whatever. I'm just like, hey, man, you know, he was the Ring of Honor, like, television champion at 10. Nobody was on his line. Like, not a lot of people were there. And I was like, yo, you're the man and all that. Now to see him like that, it's pretty cool to see that he's from New York too. So, but I think that's my prediction. I think Drew wins and Damian cashes it and becomes the world champion. And I really throw a wrench into everything.
Heck yeah, it would. And then the main event, as we know, as both of us have said, we think Rock and Roman win night one. So a Bloodlines rules match would be night two between Seth and Cody. And to be honest with you, I don't think there's much interference until towards the end of this match. I think it'd be a pretty fair fight until the end. And maybe Cody's getting ready to win it by hitting his move or whatever it might be, and then either Jimmy or Solo interferes, and then here comes Jay, and then, you know, here comes chaos. Seth, and
chaos,
and then the Rock comes down. And I think what, for me, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think a way that we can do this where we can set it up for next year, especially with everything that we know, is there's multiple ways to do this, but I think Drew McIntyre comes down in this match as well and interferes, because we saw him having a conversation a few Monday Night Raws ago with Paul Heyman.
Wow.
And I see, I
forgot about that.
And yeah, I see, right, The Rock getting upset that Roman went outside the family to get somebody to interfere and hits Roman with a rock bottom. Cody hits his move, wins the title. The Rock costs Roman the title. And then, as we heard in Roman's biography that he did on A&E, he said once he loses, he retires. So I think he comes out the next Monday night, says, I'm retiring. He goes away for 2 months. And then maybe it's Rock and Cody. And Roman comes back and says, you know, I thought I could stay retired, but there's one thing that's been bugging me. And so he costs the Rock, and then it's him and Rock at WrestleMania 41. But I do think Drew comes down, Rock gets pissed that Roman went outside the family, and he costs Roman the championship.
I think I do agree. I think The Rock is going to, I think he's, I know some people said that he's a double agent. I don't even think it's double being a double agent. Like, he's with Cody. I just think he thinks he's the final boss. Like, no,
yeah,
I'm the main event, not you. I'm the head of the table, not you. And he's just going to look at him sideways, and kind of how, you know, how he messed up you know, the Usos and all that messed up that relationship and all that. And he's had some fractures in the bloodline. And I think The Rock's going to, he's going to screw it. The Drew stuff is interesting because we saw backstage, he was talking to the wise man. So that's interesting. I don't know if that's going to mean that something happens at WrestleMania or something maybe down the line. But I think The Rock screws Roman. This is another one where Cody's winning. I just don't know how he wins. That's the thing. Because there's a part of me that's like, bloodline rules, right? And The Rock tells that I have this vision where The Rock just tells everybody, stand by, stand back. Don't help him. You guys have been helping him all along. He has to figure out how to do it by itself. Because how many times have WrestleMania last year, Solo comes. Every match is Roman has interference, right? I can see an instance where The Rock is just like, they're about to go, like Jimmy and Solo are about to go. And The Rock just holds him back. Or he just gives him the look and they stand back. And they don't help him. And the Roman gets distracted and then Cody hits him with his finisher and wins that way. He does three of them like he almost did last year. You know, I think that for me, that's been in my head. And that's what I think is going to happen where the rules are set. We got bloodline rules going up, but they try to help. They try to help their guy out. They try to help Roman out one more last time. But The Rock tells them to stand by, stand back. Don't help them. Let them figure it out themselves. Roman's like, what's going on? And then Cody ends it and he wins the belt. That's my prediction of what's going to happen. There's other ways. Like I see The Rock, like I said, Rock bothering him or interfering himself. Like I see Drew. There's other guys that other members of the bloodline that can get that just got signed and maybe that they interfere. There's a bunch of ways, but I think that's what happened. I think The Rock tells them, stand back, don't help them. Roman gets flustered because he has no help. Cody gets him. And listen, I wish Dustin was involved. I wish Dustin was in WWE because then you can be like, you could have the him help his brother. And but
there are reports, and you know that.
I hope they can get him somehow. I hope they can get him somehow. I wish there was like a report trade.
That a certain superhero will be there, and he has mentioned how he wants to be involved somehow. And his truck, even though the trucks that they have right now are all WrestleMania trucks, and that beatdown that The Rock performed on Cody, his truck was the one in the background. And I'm talking about John Cena. Yeah. All right, this Avenger moment? That we're talking about with Cody, like he's forming the Avengers, and you know, The Rock, John Cena comes from The Rock's past.
How about Stone Cold?
Dude, that'd be sick.
I think this could, or it could be just everyone. You just throw out, anyone who has anyone who has ever been wronged by the bloodline, help out.
Absolute chaos.
And they fend off the bloodline and all that. Absolute. I don't mind chaos in this situation. Usually chaos I'm not for. But in this situation, it actually makes sense. Everyone who's been wrong, dude. Sammy gets involved. KO gets involved. John Cena gets involved. Whoever has been screwed by the bloodline, Randy gets involved. Hey. We're gonna fend off, or they do like a block. They blockade. They block the entrance, and they can't get the bloodline. And then that could be another way. That's to say, there's so many ways but Cody wins. That's. I thought Cody was 1,000. I would have said 1,000% last year. I'm 2,000% this year. If he loses, I don't know what's gonna happen. But I don't think there's an ounce. I think Cody wins, and he wins his first championship. And it's gonna be emotional. It's gonna be very emotional. It's gonna be like doing Daniel Bryan won the world heavyweight title at WrestleMania 30. It's gonna be an emotional, very emotional. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Dustin too. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they, because that I don't know if I knew my brother, regardless of a different company, I'm gonna figure out a way to get there. Hey, yeah. Tony, I'd be like Tony Khan. I'm sorry, buddy. Fire me. I can't miss this. This is an opportunity this is a once in a lifetime. You only win your first championship once. The opportunity to win the first once. I mean, obviously, he does the second time, but there's a good chance he's going to win it this time. I can't miss that. But I don't know. There is WWE. I don't know. But this, we've seen trades before in wrestling. I hope some they can compromise and figure, because that's a moment I feel like Dustin needs to be a part of that. He has to somehow, whether it's just, it doesn't be physically, like I said, but somehow he has to be there. We'll see. But it's night two is going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. I mean, the card is just stacked. It's going to be, I can't wait. It's the Super Bowl, bro. Like, yeah. I know people who don't watch wrestling, they don't get it. Like WrestleMania week and all that, but it truly, I don't know if you've been to WrestleMania. I'm sure you guys will get one too, because you have a dome, so it makes sense to do it. So I'm sure one day you'll get to experience it. It's the best, bro. WrestleMania is so much fun. It's just a great weekend, and it's just
it'd be yeah. I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's end it on this. Let's end it with three questions.
Yes.
The three questions are, and we'll start with one. What's the first memory you have about watching wrestling? I'll start here. For me, it's kind of a vague memory, but the first one I can like remember was the feud, not the Ruthless Aggression Kurt Angle John Cena feud, but the second one, I guess, or like maybe 04 05, kind of right before he faced JBL for the championship. He had that feud with Chris Jericho, John Cena did, and Kurt Angle. Those two feuds are the first two that I really remember, my first real memories of wrestling, where I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what I like.
Yeah. I mean, and it's crazy. Like I said, I didn't watch wrestling during that time. That's when I was no 4 or 5. I was in high school. Yeah. I was a sophomore, man. Show my age. But for me, my first moment, the first match I remember, obviously, I'm going to show my age a little bit, but tapes and all that. I remember WrestleMania 6, Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. Obviously, that was like 92, so I was only 3. But that's the first match I truly, that was shown. Like, my cousin was like, watch this. This is like a civil war. Like, this is like,
yeah,
you know, you got to pick between the Mets and the Yankees. You got to pick between the Giants and the Jets. You know, especially living in New York, like this is you, like, and they told me about, like, him and my uncle would tell me about the story of Hogan versus Warrior. Like, there was true divide and all that. So, but the first match I remember truly was Bret versus Mr. Perfect. And that's when I became a Bret Hart. It's SummerSlam 1990. Oh, I should know this. This is bad that I don't know this. 94. Or 93, or maybe even 92. It was in one of those years, 92, 93, 94. That match, I was like, I'm a Bret Hart guy. Like, they showed me, I'm like, oh, yeah. That's, and then, like, just him being, he was just the coolest and all that. But, yeah, that was probably the first one I was like, oh, I'm watching this stuff. Yeah, it's cool.
All right, question number two is, who's your favorite all-time wrestler?
Bret Hart.
Your favorite feud that they've had. I'll let you go and say yours. I actually have three all time, but I have one in particular I chose for this exercise.
Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler of all time. Bret Hart, to me, is the greatest wrestler of all time. Now, I grew up in the Attitude Era, and I was a Rock guy. I chose Rock over Austin because everybody was an Austin guy, so I went the other way. I went a lot of my life. Rock was my favorite, but as I got older, watch more Bret Hart stuff and realize this man is the greatest of all time. Here's why he's the greatest of all time. We talked about entrance. His entrance, when you hear the hit the glasses. I was always jealous. I always wanted to be that kid to get the glasses. When he used to take the glasses off, give them to a kid. But the way he went about in the ring, we talked about that word fake. It didn't feel fake with him. Like, the way he threw punches, the way he even ran the ropes, the way he would go to the turnbuckle, it felt like, oh, that hurt. He just made it feel real wrestling. The sharpshooter, the way he would put, like, and that's why I love that match of him and Mr. Perfect. The way put the sharpshooter on Mr. Perfect, the minute he cranked it back, Mr. Perfect tapped out. Because if I put a sharpshooter on you in real life, if we were to have a fight, and I throw a sharpshooter on you in real life, and I crank it, oh, you're going to get hurt. And Brett used to do it. Like, it felt real when he did it. So that's why, to me, he's the best. And what was the second part of that question?
What's your favorite feud that he's been in?
Favorite feud with him? Oh, man, he's had a lot of good feuds. Shawn Michaels.
Okay. All right.
Because you know what's crazy? I converted. I became a Shawn Michaels guy. WrestleMania 12, Iron Man match. I look back now, it was the greatest match of all time because I was young. Obviously, now you look back, it was a slow start and then it ended like it was good. But it's tough doing Iron Man matches and all that. But I was a Shawn Michaels guy after that for a little back. I hate to say it, but Brett, you're still my guy. But that feud was real. And it really was. It was a real, both guys did not like each other. Like, it started off as friendly and then it started to little by little, like, oh, Brett doesn't like the disrespect, and then but they still had killer matches. And then obviously Survivor Series 97 is what chaos happened and all that. Like, you know, him when he's going to WCW and Shawn Michaels puts him in a sharpshooter and that probably, but Mr. Perfect feud is a good one. The match you have with Piper, like I don't think he's had a bad feud, man. Him and his brother, him and Owen, those matches were good. The cage match they had, the WrestleMania, like, man, he said Yokozuna. I mean, yeah, the list goes on and on, man. Taker, Austin, that match they had at WrestleMania 13 with the like, that might be the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. Like,
yeah,
I don't think he's had a bad feud.
Yeah. All right, I had three guys. You know, the first action figure and wrestling memorabilia I ever had was of Sting. So I was a big Sting kid.
My WCW guy.
The Undertaker was one of my favorites as well. But growing up, when I grew up, and I think you know where I'm going with this, my all-time favorite is John Cena. And I think I still, to this day, at my mom's house, on the outside door of my room at my mom's house, sits a John Cena poster. For me, I think his greatest feud, a lot of people say it's the Randy Orton feud. I disagree. I think it's Edge. And because if John Cena is Batman, then Edge was the Joker. Like, these two, I was donating plasma earlier today, and while I was donating, I was watching the A&E rivals between those two.
Yeah.
You have to understand, like, living through that, being a John Cena fan, like, I legit, and this is how you know it's good storytelling, I legit hated Edge. Like, legit hated him. Like,
that's how you know he's doing his job. Yep.
I wanted
the same way with Triple H. I hated when being a rock guy and add to there. I hated Triple H. Triple H. So
I couldn't, as a kid, I couldn't stand him. So to me, I just, and maybe it's, you know, all the emotions I have, all that kind of stuff. But to me, I think that's his best feud. And to me, you know, and he's my favorite of all time, even though I have three favorites of all time.
I think that's his best. Yeah. Is that his best? Yeah,
I think that is his best. And then the final question is, what's a dream WrestleMania match that you wish happened that never did? Listen, for me, I could say Undertaker Sting, as much as I want that.
What's crazy? It could have happened and it should have happened. That WrestleMania,
the only time I think it legit happened. Yeah. And then after that, the only time it could have happened was 2014. But you're getting like a 60-year-old Undertaker and a 60-year-old Sting. I don't think with the hype that would have been around it, that match would have been worth anything. I think the match we should have got, and yes, I know we got it, but it was a squash match. It doesn't count, in my opinion. I think somewhere in between, maybe after Shawn, somewhere between Batista and CM Punk, we should have gotten John Cena versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I mean, you talk.
Yeah, you're right.
You talk. I know we got that one later on.
Yeah, that don't count.
We needed, at the peak, John Cena, and that time, The Undertaker, who's putting on WrestleMania classics. I think you should have got Cena versus Taker at WrestleMania. I think it would have blown the doors off the place, would have brought the house down. I don't think we talk about how hyped up this WrestleMania is. I think a WrestleMania with those two in it would have just absolutely just set the world on fire at the peak, when, especially when John Cena was Super Cena and you know, Undertaker being the streak in the Deadman.
Oh no, yeah. I have a few. One, Sting Taker, that's one that I feel like a dream that should have happened. Eddie Guerrero versus Shawn Michaels is one.
Yeah.
Another one that I would have loved to have seen. Kurt Angle versus Bret Hart is one that to me would have been The Rock versus Triple H. Now, they've had matches in a four-way at WrestleMania 2000, but they've never had it one-on-one, which I still think that's crazy. And they almost had one a few years back, like maybe like 8 years ago, like they almost did it, but it was like, wait, you guys were like, to me, the rivalry, like, that rivalry was intense, and it was like, never a one-on-one match at WrestleMania?
That's I'm always like surprised that never happened. And John Cena. Like, yes, they fought at WrestleMania, but they had the big show in it. It didn't really.
That sucked.
We never, for as great as that.
Well, Randy Orton and John Cena never had a singles match. Because the match they had was with Triple H, Triple Threat. Right. Yeah. So like, it's just weird. Like, you think about the, like, and they, like you said, that an A&E does the rivalries, and it's like, wait a minute. They never had a WrestleMania match one-on-one. Like, these things are, you're two top, like Hogan versus Ric Flair too is another one.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because like eras are defined by the two top guys, right? You got the golden age, Hogan, Flair. Then you go to, we got HBK versus Bret, but and when we got Austin and Rock, but we never got Rock Triple H. We never got you know, Cena, Orton, you know, and all that. Like, there's some like, hey man, why didn't we get that? Like, certain matches and like that, it doesn't make sense, but it's just how it works and all that. But you know, we got Shawn Michaels versus Taker back to back, and those matches were, you know, those are great matches and all that. But yeah, those would be the matches, dream matches. Kurt Angle versus Bret Hart would be. And I could watch that on a loop 24/7. That would be intense. I have WWE 2K24. That's the match. I'm gonna do those five matches.
All right. Before we go, let people know where they can find you, what you're working on. Have a good WrestleMania 40 weekend, Chris.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can follow me at Off the Ball Pod on X, Instagram. Make sure to follow the Off the Ball Network Facebook, YouTube pages, and all that. Get a Bucket Podcast with me and Kev. We're going to be breaking down the final four, discussing some the guys who entered in the transfer portal. We'll talk some McDonald's All-American game that just happened, you know, where Bronny James will be heading next, or some of our predictions, give our predictions for the final four, because that's also coming up. Talk about our teams. You know, Duke got bounced off to against NC State. His Spartans are out. So we'll talk about all that. Off the Ball Podcast. I'm working on like documentary type shows. I'm going to do a Jabari Parker show next. So just follow me, Off the Ball Pod, on Twitter. So or X, whatever you want to call it. But thanks for having me, bro.
Of course. And for everybody watching at home, have a good day, good night, good afternoon, whatever it is. You have a good one. We will see you next week.